Hello and welcome to Gospel for the Glory of Jesus. God is so good, spared us another day today, and just wonderful to be here. I want to get right into it because it's a wonderful lesson here today. Spring is coming. I tell you, it's just an exciting time. Agape is going on 30 years of existence. With that, there's some wonderful things taking place. Right now, I want to talk about it's time for spiritual renewal. You know, I always like to say the Lord gave me something. If he did, I'd like to acknowledge him that he gave it to me. It didn't come from my little pea brain. It came from him. You know, anytime you say God gave you this, well, God gave me that, people look at you like you're a religious outlaw, freak or something. And I know you're not supposed to say freak on the radio, but I'm just going to tell you. Church folks are like that. You know why? Because many of them have never talked to the Lord in their prayer time. So he gave me something called Agape's Sabbatical Year to Glorify God with 12 themes. That means one for each month. January has already passed, but I'm going to tell you, from January to December. January is a time for new beginnings. February, a time to restore our love to one another. March, a time Agape seeks to how to fit into God's plan. We always think we're supposed to let God fit into our plans, but it's the other way around. We got to find out what he wants us to do so we can fit into his plan. Four, April, a time to renew our bodies. Isn't that something? After being on hiatus, like a bear, we've been, kind of like taking it easy. And by taking it easy, stuff has went to another, because I'm not going to go there. But it's time for us to get in shape, get our bodies in shape in April. May, a time to renew our minds. Yes, sometimes we get too much cell phone. I'm sorry, forgive me. June, a time to rejoice. July, a time to celebrate. It's wonderful. It's always important for us to celebrate. Spurgeon liked to celebrate everything. Birthdays, knew this, knew that. He loved the church to celebrate and have joy. August, a time to celebrate our women. Without women, the church would not exist today. Men would be white, would be at home on the couch watching NBA and NFL and all the other acronyms they got. September is a time to celebrate the children and our youth. October, a time to celebrate family. Wow, and most families they have a problem, but that's okay. That it's nothing that love and God can't handle. November, a time to celebrate seniors. Yeah, let's keep our seniors in that wisdom, that gray hair, the almond tree, so they can keep us out of trouble. And December, a time to celebrate Jesus Christ. Amen. So I wanted to give you that as a preemptive for us now, knowing that it's a time for us to have. It's all this time. We need to know that over almost 30 years, Agape, myself, a lot of us have made some mistakes. And we need to understand that God wants us to ask him to help fix us so that we start out brand new this year. Let him teach us. And the problem is a lot of times we don't hear his voice. Because, you know, things, sometimes we are so much into forgetting the things that have so easily beset us. Those little sins, those little peccadilloes, those little cheats in our armor. And we think that sometimes we can get to the point where we think we're okay. We're all right. But you know what? We need some spiritual R&R. That means we need to be renewed with repentance and rejoicing. Repentance means to turn away from those old sins. And rejoicing means to hear God. And this is what we're going to talk about, how you can be renewed and rejoice by hearing God. I found something the other day, another year ago, a few years back. It was by Martin Luther, not Martin Luther King Jr., I'm talking about Martin Luther, the one who started the Protestant church. He said this: to know God, you must have him as an enemy before he can become your friend. I'm going to say it again. To know God, you must have him as an enemy before he can become your friend. To fear God is to hear God. You know, that's what faith ends up coming from, fear. I know people always talk about it means respect, it means this. I think it means just what it say. You got to fear God. See, without fear, people don't usually respect people if they don't fear them. If they don't understand that God is nobody to play with. He's God all by himself. Amen. That's good preaching to me. I don't know about anybody else. Matthew 17:2 and 17:5 talks about we need to learn how, first of all, to listen to Jesus. But if he doesn't have our attention, there's not going to be much listening. I think it's Matthew 17:7 talks about be not afraid. You need to fear him, to trust him. Another thing about learning how to fear God and learning how to hear his voice is one of my notes here that talks about what is a saint? Well, I know a lot of people who call themselves saints are not saints, they're ain'ts. But I know this little definition by Ken Aitken says this. He says, a saint is one who serves and seeks the Lord and does not quit when things get tough. I'm going to say it again. A saint is one who serves and seeks the Lord and does not quit when things get tough. Ken Aitken. Another little nugget says this, prayer works. It says this, to pray is to work. To work is to pray. Okay, I kind of like that. You know, most people get those quickie prayers, especially at the dinner table. Good God, get good meat, good bread, let's eat. At home, it's now lay me down and sleep if I should die. Before I wake, I pray to God, my soul to take forever and ever, amen. And then it's off to snooze land. Or it's a gimme God time. Lord, gimme this, gimme that, gimme. And if they really need something really bad, they really get religious on you. Oh, Lord, I need you to give me this and give me that and help me pay my phone bill, my gas bill too. Oh, Jesus. Okay, I know y'all don't want any joy today, so I'll just go back to the lesson. Let's look at Proverbs 2:10. Let's look at that. Proverbs 2:10 talks about the wisdom of understanding how to learn how to hear God and how to know that he will hear you when you're doing those things that please him. Well, first thing is we got to love the Son. That's the S-O-N. When we love the Son, he'll give us anything we need. The first thing, scripture, chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, I'm going to go to 9. If you listen to me, you will know what is right, just, and fair. You will know what you should do. 10. You will become wise, and your knowledge will give you pleasure. Your insight and understanding will protect you. 12, and prevent you from doing the wrong thing. They will keep you away from people who stir up trouble by what they say. This is the Good News Bible, not the King James. King James talked about being froward, F-R-O-W-A-R-D. And so I thought I'd take that English word and I'd use the Good News. 13 says, those who have abandoned a righteous life to live in the darkness of sin, those who find pleasure in doing wrong and who enjoy senseless evil. 15, unreliable people who cannot be trusted. The Lord will help you when you start listening to him. He will guide you around some of these cruel and evil folk. That's why it's important to learn how to speak to him. Why it's important to listen and hear him. It says in 16, I like to read the word. I don't try to make some type of sermonic treast. I want you to hear what the word says, what God says. 16, you will be able to resist any immoral woman. Now, you know what? And now let me finish it. Who tries to seduce you with her smooth talk. Women, don't get mad at me. I'm just reading what the word says. Young men, God wants you to be pure like we expect women to be pure. We expect them to be protective of their bodies. Just men should be the same way they are, protective of their bodies. And to resist being seduced. It says 17, and I'll elaborate on this a little bit more. See how much time I might have here. Let's get running. 17, who is faithless to her own husband and forgets her sacred vows? One of the things that happens, and people don't want to talk about it in church, but there's a lot of immorality going on in our churches. Most of our churches are carnal Christians, filled with carnal Christians. And I've kind of gotten away from always saying being a Christian and Christian, because I'm finding out that the word Christian has lost its power with many of our people in the world. They think of them as being just like us, but we just go to church and they stay home. So I turned to this. I got a new name, a new word for it. It's called Jesusanity. Jesusanity. Anything Jesus believes, I believe. And I'm following what he says. Amen, Walls. I know y'all get mad at me. It's all right. I haven't fallen away from from the truth. But I believe when I say Jesus, anytime you say Jesus, people get scared anyway. Everybody believes in God, but a lot of people don't believe in Jesus. A lot of Christians say God. They never say Christ. So Christianity is taking on and many times has a bad connotation. But Jesus, he never did wrong. He never hurt any of us. But I hear people who say in the name of Christ, they say a lot of things that Jesus did not say nor believe. So that's why I'm with him. This thing right here is just talking about how young men can get taken aside and can get caught up and lose their virtue. And eventually, if they start out too young messing around with women, they can become useless fodder, never be worth anything. A lot of boys, young men now are living by earning money, by having women on the side and using them. And it's not good. And we Christians, we always say, that's none of my business. I don't need to say anything to them. That's my nephew, it's my cousin, little cousin, JoJo, And you better tell JoJo something. You better butt into his business and say, man, you need to get right with the Lord. You need to cut that out. Amen. That's all right. I feel the nails coming back already. I feel the slaps upside my head already. But that's okay. There's some business we as Christians need to get into so that God won't hold us accountable because we didn't make corrections to their lives. Yeah, any 16-year-old needs to be corrected if he's messing around with some woman 23, 24, 25, 26, or whatever. Amen. Yeah, and I can fight too if y'all want to get with me. I do know how to fight. Amen. In the spirit. I'll pray for you. It says here in verse 19 of chapter 2, it says, no one who visits her ever comes back. That means your life will never be of any use. Well, we're going to go and deal with chapter 3 right now. It's got a little heavy here, but it's necessary for us to be like fathers and correct our children. It says here in Proverbs 3 and verse 1, I'm in the Good News Bible, it says, my child, don't forget what I teach you. Always remember what I tell you to do. My teaching will give you a long and prosperous life. Never let go of loyalty and faithfulness. Tie them around your neck. Write them on your heart. That means memorize and put them in there. In thy heart, put it in your heart so you don't commit any sin against what it says in the psalm. In the Psalms. 4, if you do this, both God and people will be pleased with you. And of course, the one that all of us know is trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to your own understanding. You know, never rely on what you think you know. Remember the Lord in everything you do, and he will show you the right way. You know, I'm going to go back over to chapter 1, and verse 20, the good news. It says, listen. It's got an exclamation point after it. Wisdom is calling out in the streets and marketplaces. 21, calling loudly at the city gates and wherever people come together. 22 says this, foolish people, how long do you want to be foolish? How long will you enjoy making fun of knowledge? Will you never learn? Listen to what I reprimand you. I give you good advice and share my knowledge with you. It means he's pouring it into him, pouring his life into him. 24, I've been calling you, inviting you to come, but you would not listen. It sounds like a lot of people today. You paid no attention to me. 25, you have ignored all my advice and have not been willing to let me correct you. A lot of us think that information is wisdom. It is not. We think information is wisdom. It is not. 26, so when you get into trouble, I will laugh at you. I will make fun of you when terror strikes. 27, when it comes on you like a storm, bringing fierce winds of trouble, and you are in pain and misery. 28, then you will call for wisdom, but I will not answer. You may look for me everywhere, but you will not find me. 29, you have never had any use for knowledge and have always refused to obey the Lord. 30, you have never wanted my advice or paid any attention when I corrected you. So, then, you will get what you deserve, and your own actions will make you sick. Inexperienced people die because they reject wisdom. Stupid people are destroyed by their own lack of concern. But whoever listens to me will have security. He will be safe with no reason to be afraid. Yes, God wants you to get wisdom and knowledge. I've talked about wisdom and knowledge so many times. But sometimes it's just seeing that people just do not want to hear God today. There's a spirit of enmity, of kind of a hatred for God today. And it's very prevalent. And you can really see it when you go out from church. You go to places where there's Christians and non-Christians. You can feel the spirit of it. But one thing I think God wants us all Christians to know and understand is that learning about God with information does not get it. He doesn't educate us through the mind. We truly learn the spiritual things we need to know is through the heart. Quickly, I want to read this to you from a book called When Misfits Become Kings by Mark Casco. He said this, we learn how to do church, but not how to walk in a personal, intimate relationship with God. We were like the children of Israel who knew the acts of God while Moses understood his ways. That's God, that's what he's trying to get us to do so we can hear his voice, to learn his ways. We see his power. Sometimes a lot of us just go to church to see people get healed miraculously and all that. We love, you know what happened? We have become a people who love singing in the choir. We love preaching. We love teaching. We love being on the motherboard. We love everything, but we've lost our first love, and that's one of the reasons we can't hear. Please, my brothers and sisters, turn your hearts to God so you can hear him. God bless you. Amen.